You're listening to AM 970. KCMD AM Portland. Solid State Radio. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of July, the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program, and it's our annual Christmas in July spectacular. Under the mellifluous sounds of Andy Williams right there. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 on this Tuesday. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do this as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, coming up this hour, we have... I didn't write anything down. Do we have watches?
Do we have things? We do. Democracy on the March, we have.
All right.
And also, we have a little Joe Menton from Joe Lieberman.
Oh, I can't wait for 2008. Can I just tell you, I was scrolling through the TiVo listings yesterday. Because I don't know if you all who have a TiVo may do this. Where, like, once every 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, I'll just sit down and I'll go to the pick programs to record. And I'll pick alphabetically. And then I'll just start at A. And I'll just scroll through all 5,000 programs or whatever it is that are coming up for the next, whatever the programming for, like, the next 3 weeks. And I found the Road to the White House, 2008, which C-SPAN is going to be airing on Sunday. And I am all over that. I'm going to make Lieberman a keyword, too. Anything that's about Joe Lieberman is going to come up on my TiVo, and I will be watching it. I will be reveling in the joy of Joe Menta. This means that there's going to be Joe Menta merchandise available again. And I will know. This time, I will not be denied. This time, I will find that merchandise, and I will wear it proudly, as is my wont. Okay. So we got the Democracy in the March coming up today. Clyde Lewis will be in studio with us. What else? We have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who was just at the shuttle launch, which he was watching now on television, out of morbid curiosity to see if it works successfully or blow itself into little smithereens. I don't say that to be cynical. It's just a fact. That's why everybody was watching today. I am not ashamed to say that we were among that number.
And now everybody's turned it off. Disappointed.
That's Jim Riley who said that.
I'm a proud American. It is true that the television's off now, though. So Lisa Goddard was there, though, Cape Canaveral. We'll be talking to her CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten. I'm going to quit calling him a CNN radio correspondent. I'm going to start saying he's a Rick Emerson correspondent who happens to be freelancing for CNN. He's at...
Wait, hold on.
He is at... Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest at Oh, that's the place they always show in every Spike Lee film.
Yeah, we have sound from that, too.
Live at... Could the sound from a hot dog eating contest possibly be? The sound of a guy's colon exploding? Live from Coney Island for the annual Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. Is this where that, who's that guy? That Japanese bastard that wins every year?
Yeah, white people can't consume as many hot dogs as Japanese can.
That's nothing to... I'm just saying.
It's not racist, it's a fact.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mean to be... Wait. I do not mean to be disseminating racist viewpoints. But it is a fact The Japanese have many skills, among them the ability to consume massive amounts of hot dogs, which seems wrong somehow. Because I know that hot dogs were created in Germany, but they do at this point in human history seem like an all-American food.
Well, we liberated them and showed them the American way.
Have a hot dog. Get back.
Took a couple of bombs to do it.
You will learn to like hot dogs if we have to kill all of you. It is the 4th of July. We can make such imperialist and jingoistic statements. And then we'll play Lee Greenwood. Get ourselves a 50 share. Well, anyway. So this guy is shoveling hot dogs into their face. Gary Baumgart's going to be there. What makes this country great? Also, Jim, speaking of this country and greatness, Jim Roop is talking to the children today about what Independence Day means to them. Bunch of snot-nosed little bastards. So
our most precious natural resource.
Yes, especially in Los Angeles. Because there's nothing... Because that's what we need, more kids from California. So he's there, he's talking about that at barbecue safety, so you don't immolate yourself like an idiot redneck today. So all of that is coming up. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, Gary Baumgarten, Jim Roop, Clyde Lewis. We'll try to get to... but today's a good day to redo that summer top five. We'll try to get that done. Somebody sent us a sounder for Arizona, because we've determined that Arizona is, in fact, the new Florida. So a guy sent me an Arizona sounder, but it didn't seem like I wanted to play correctly. So I'll see if I can get that rolling. Later on, of course, we will be playing Behind the Christmas, an original radio play. Not really original, actually, like the fifth year we've been playing it. We're going to do something else. When Christmas this year comes, somebody asked me about this. We will still play Behind the Christmas. We'll do that on, like, Christmas... I don't know, the day before Christmas Eve, like maybe the 23rd or something. But coming up this Christmas, we're going to have a new, we will have something else. We will
something
create
for children.
Yes, it's all for the children here, Tim. For the children, indeed. Anyway, so coming up this Christmas, this is really a forward promote. Coming up 7 months from now, we will have something new for Christmas Eve to take the place of Behind the Christmas, which we'll bump back about like a day or so. But Behind the Christmas, an original radio play, is coming up at 2 o'clock today, around the 2 o'clock hour. Clyde will be here. We'll do that. It is our Christmas in July program. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's wearing the same clothes she wore yesterday. Sexy. All right.
I only wore these to a barbecue yesterday.
Okay. I'm not passing judgment. I haven't washed this.
No,
what the holiday weekend?
I am wearing today. Oh, and it's got scum on it. I'm wearing my... Hold on.
No, half the buttons on the strip popped off when I was chasing Delaine's cat.
You were chasing a cat?
So you're wearing...
No, my friend's out of town and her cat's sick, so I have to catch it in a towel and shove a pill down its throat two times a day.
Can't you shove the pill somewhere else? That might be easier.
Oh,
you don't want to do that, though.
Yeah. It's not a sharp pill there, probably. My fingers hurt.
Okay. So, what
ailment might that cat have?
It's a cat.
An ear infection.
Oh, okay.
Why'd you shove it in the cat's ear?
It's actually pretty sad.
Whatever. It sounds like the cat needs to be put down. That's my medical estimation. After having assessed this...
She spent... A lot of money.
You said $350.
Yeah.
There were millions of cats. Find one the same color to replace it.
That's what
How would you know?
She just found that cat in
there
her bushes.
There are only like three different cats.
What does the cat look like? If you could get us a picture of the cat, we could probably get you a new one by the end of the day.
At least it doesn't look exactly like it.
Jen Lane's probably got three or four sitting under her couch right now. She doesn't even know we're there.
And you can look, the ear infection has been cured.
It's a miracle.
Leave your cats with me every time.
Say that you just laid on hands and the cat was, you know, suddenly everything was fine.
You can't tell one cat from another.
It's true. I mean, I have to tell you this. I know that we're supposed to embrace the least of God's creatures.
The roaches with fur in the tail.
I know that we're all good bleeding hearts here. We're supposed to embrace animal rights. But this, we are not a cat program.
This is a dog program.
This is a dog show, so to speak. And if you are not
okay... That was shown yesterday when Rick and I had our matching poodle.
Oh, man, you don't even want to know. I'm so glad there are no photos from yesterday.
I know.
Talk about that in a second.
I don't realize how much our dogs looked alike.
Yeah.
They're spending too much time together.
We're just retards. But for those playing the home game, please to now note that Sarah's wearing a sundress with half the buttons ripped off. Just to help enhance your mental.
It looks like something from the Devil Wears Prada.
It does. You look very nice, though. It's a nice outfit.
I saw the movie yesterday, by the way.
Oh, was it good?
Oh, it was outstanding.
Now I'm going to get dragged to see it on
tomorrow. As a matter of fact, it was better than Superman. People laughed and hooted and had a great time.
Well,
had a great cast, great story.
It feels wrong to malign Superman on the 4th of July, but it's Superman. The problem with Superman, I know this is like the ninth day of talking about this, but the problem with Superman is it's just kind of bland.
Meryl Streep should have been Lois Lane.
Yes.
Meryl Streep, oh, she is so gorgeous.
I love Meryl Streep. Now, I do find her kind of strangely attractive.
Well, she is attractive.
Yeah, but
Meryl, she seems powerful. That's probably why.
Oh, yeah. I dig that in chicks. I either dig chicks who have no self-esteem or chicks who have a lot of self-esteem. If you're like in the middle somewhere, I don't find you attractive at all. If you're a chick that just that needs me to feel complete and weeps a lot to yourself at night, like, that's hot. And then if you're a chick that doesn't need me at all and could buy and sell me, that's hot too. Like, what's her name? Lisa Goddard? She has that degree in finance? That's sexy.
Be a cat's man. She has a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's totally
today.
Maybe
we should talk about him again. You should ask her what his name is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I should do. Is he bigger than me? I don't even know what I was talking about.
Nothing
We're
about
so it. Off track today. Anyway, so Sarah's here. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification.
The space shuttle fails to explode on liftoff. The president gives the troops a pep talk, but not in Iraq this time. It's too violent to go there. The hunt for Osama officially ends, and Nazis celebrate the 4th with a rally in Olympia.
I hate Illinois Nazis. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I don't have my programming matrix. I don't know what else is coming up. This is the part of the program where we are now relatable by talking about what we did yesterday. Because you probably did something, too. And you can say, I did something yesterday. It's like Rick is just like me. What did I do yesterday? I
don't went even, to a barbecue I came to, and sat there uncomfortably?
I didn't even go to... Yeah, I didn't even go to a barbecue, though, because I wasn't even
you
into
the barbecue
part.
Yeah, I know. At, like, 5 minutes after you left, like, 30 people showed up.
Well, it's because I'm uninterested. Well, see, that's fine, though. I'm uninteresting under the best of circumstances. Here's my day yesterday. You all probably got together with friends and...
Well, what are you supposed to talk about at the barbecue?
I don't know, man.
More relish, more mustard?
Tim and I have talked about this
before.
There's
a dog barbecue, too.
Yeah, like, comedians, which I'm not, but comedians know this problem. I know I have a couple friends of mine who are comedians, and it's like, and they have, comedians have the problem of going to a party, and they're there, and what does everybody do? Hey, say something funny. And comedians can never say anything funny on command because they're just sitting there seething and drunk and, you know, whatever. And so I try to avoid social events because people expect me to be interesting, and I'm just not. I'm just not interesting in any way. And Don Geronimo was complaining about this the other day, so I feel like we're all in good company here. But so Sarah nagged me just long and hard about going to this barbecue with her and Lisa, who's defiling her bosoms. And, you know,
yeah,
Nate,
Lisa's boobs were huge yesterday.
Nate, oh, do I have the... No,
what?
No, wait, no, no, wait.
On you.
There you go. And, you know, Nate, who's always carving about dishes, you know, and everybody there has got some sort of problem. And so, anyway, she's like, you got to come to this barbecue. And I'm like, why? What am I going to do? You'll hang out. Let me just tell you this. I don't care how cool you are, what kind of a hipster you think you may be. You just hang out with Sarah's friends, and you just feel like a tool. And that's not a reflection on your friends in a bad way. I'm just saying your friends are very cool. Your friends are very happening and hip, and they're down with the new music and the Warp Tour and the so forth. I don't know.
I'm listening to, like, Motley Crue the entire time.
Yeah, but in a cool kind of retro sort of way. And playing a dice game I didn't understand. And the chicks are all hot and have tattoos, and I'm just sitting there like a tool. And so I wasn't going to go until finally Sarah nags me. And my wife is gone anyway because she's gone for like 3. This is how boring I am. It's 4th of July. My wife, gone. Gone for like 3 days. She doesn't even ask
she
me anymore.
She doesn't want to hang out with you.
No. She's like, I'm leaving. I'll be back on Wednesday.
That's
like,
so sad.
Well, I guess unless you're
me. She probably has some spending money.
She did.
All right. You're all set.
There's pizza money on the counter. Now I want you to call the Green Bombs if something goes wrong. I'll be out of cell phone range. Don't you have any parties? Like, okay.
Water the plants or there's ice.
Feed the dog. So my wife my wife is gone. I'm sitting around the house with my poodle, sweating, doing nothing. Sarah's like, gotta come to the barbecue. So I finally, I'm like, oh, damn it, fine. So I get my poodle. I get in the car. And no story that starts with I got my poodle can be manly. So I go over to Lisa's?
Yeah, it was Lisa.
Go over to Lisa's, and I walk into the backyard, and it's a bunch of wayward youths around a card table playing a dice game, listening to Guns N' Roses and being cool. And I'm sitting there with a poodle in my lap,
and no,
unable
and
to
no
cool.
tattoo,
no tattoo,
no piercing.
Not wearing any
Actually,
black.
We were both sitting with our dogs in our laps next to each other.
Yeah, and so then Sarah and I looked like an old married couple because
of the daughters of the American Revolution.
Totally. This is really, and I don't mean this in a creepy way, but if you did not know better and came to any of these gatherings, you would think that Sarah and I were married. I don't mean that in a weird, lecherous way. It's just true because there's... You know, like punk girl one and like punk guy one and then Lisa and then Amanda and then Nate. And they're all You know, they're all wearing chains hooked to their wallets and skulls that are on fire are tattooed onto their arms and so forth. And the girls all look like they're going to punch you and then, like, maybe sleep with you, but probably just the punching part. And then, but then there's Sarah and I. And Sarah and I are sitting there with matching poodles, you know. And I know your dog's not a poodle, but he looks like mine. And so Sarah's sitting there with a little beige dog in her lap, and I'm sitting there with a little white poodle in her lap, and we're having dog conversation. And it's just alternately, like, gay and stupid and retarded and dumb and old and... And then I went home, and I laid on the sofa. And then, because I'm really interesting, last night I came back to work. Like, 8 o'clock last night, I'm like, well, I'll go to the office. So I came and I sat and I worked on my computer file structure last night for 3 hours while sitting next to Scotty J, who was running down a mic. There you go. It's the life of Emerson. I know you probably did something exciting. Not me. There you go. That's that kind of social whirlwind that's going to win the heart of Lisa Goddard, by the way. We should go to the... Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Week, Tim Riley reporting. By the way, it's the 4th of July and we're here live. And we're the only ones on the radio locally who are.
It's true.
Or probably anywhere.
No. To be fair, they're live on Couple today.
Oh, but that's a music station.
No. In terms of talk radio. Oh, yeah, no. In terms of talk radio, we're the only. There's nothing live happening today. Nothing live anywhere, in any way, at any time, except for Stephanie Miller. Now, granted, she was not there. It is a guest host. But the Stephanie Miller Show is actually live this week. I do believe with a comedian. You know, I don't like comedians, but... I've talked about women that I find hot who are not traditionally attractive, and this woman is not only kind of strangely hot to me, but she's got a name which I enjoy saying, because it's funny, and if you were high, it would be even funnier. This week's Stephanie Miller Show is being guest hosted by Elaine Boozler, which is the best name ever. I just love to say Elaine
Boozler.
She's
a comedian from the 80s.
She's old school.
Yeah.
She's from that Rita Rudner era.
Yeah.
So she's pretty funny too. So anyway, but we're the only talk show that is here actually being hosted by the actual hosts, because Rick Emerson cares and so forth.
Well, after two weather delays and last minute foam trouble, Discovery and the crew of seven blasted off on the first shuttle mission in a year, flying over objections from those who said you're all going to die. A tiny piece of foam that fell off a bracket from the external fuel tank didn't worry those at Mission Control.
If you put 10 of these things in an envelope and put it in the U.S. mail, you could mail it with one stamp. It's less than a tenth of an ounce, the weight of a handful of cotton. Nonetheless, we take it very seriously, and we've analyzed it as carefully as we can, and it's not an issue.
Well, here's the thing, is it better not be an issue, because not that it looks like it's going to, but I'm just saying, if something went wrong today, they would just hang everybody. Who was responsible for this, because you can't put out a bunch of press releases all day Monday saying things are falling off the space shuttle and then launch it on Tuesday and then act surprised when something bad happens. So I hope nothing goes wrong.
Okay, I have a whole bunch of local holiday-related stories. So
are these relatable stories?
They are.
All right.
So stop me if you want to hear more, but I'll go through them quick because there are too many.
All right.
A southbound Amtrak train collided near Castle Rock in southwest Washington yesterday with a Honda Accord, ripping the car in two and killing four people.
Were all the people killed in the car?
One person was found dead inside the car. Three people were ejected from the vehicle during the crash. The crash left half of the car in a ditch near the crash site and pushed the other half 300 feet down the track.
Was anybody on the train killed, or were the four fatalities all from people in this car?
In this car. The rail speed was 79 miles an hour.
Well,
computer records will tell trains precise speed.
I think by now we all know the outcome of the car versus train equation.
Yeah.
But, you know, for those who were late to class, you will trouble us no more.
And two young men drowned while swimming in the Clackamas River in southeast. Witnesses say the man was in distress.
Is something wrong with... Has the water turned on us or something?
Well, these people are from Texas.
Oh, well, there
so
you
they
go.
Know nothing about swimming in Oregon water.
They don't know about our liquids that you swim in here.
No.
It's America's new secret weapon, water.
Mm-hmm. So they were visiting from out of state. Firefighters and the Portland Bomb Squad called to a southwest Portland neighborhood after a woman out on the walk spotted a homemade explosive device. It consisted of several pop bottles taped together, covered with foil, appeared to have fuses coming out of them. This is at Southwest 50th Avenue and Baird Street.
Several what bottles?
Let's see, it's several pop bottles.
Someone's from the East Coast.
That's what it says here. Pop bottles.
That's awesome.
Not to be confused with mom bottles.
Okay.
They were taped together. The woman who found the device, if I was from the East Coast, these would be tonic bottles.
Is that true?
Yeah.
We've had this whole discussion somewhere. I was going to create a map of what it was. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I thought it was pop. Well, now I don't even know.
No, back in my neck of the old woods.
Yes.
It's called tonic.
Well, you know, my dad called it pop. But he was from here.
It's also a southern word.
Now, I don't think that's true. I think, well, maybe. Okay, so it's tonic, and then here, I always just call it soda. I was to understand, though, that in the south, all manner of soda, it is all called a cold drink. Or sometimes a Coke. I hear that in the south, sometimes all soda is called a Coke.
Like a generic term.
Yeah, or a cold drink, as in Cool Hand Luke. All right, well, whatever. Anyway, so a homemade explosive died, but it didn't explode.
No, but the bad part is, and the police say not to do this, the woman who found the tonic bottles moved it out of the street and experienced a burning sensation in her hand.
Okay, so don't do this.
If you find anything like this, don't touch it.
Leave it alone.
Stop it.
Why? What?
Don't go swimming like the people in Texas if you want to die.
Stop being dense. Why would you do that? Why would you pick up something that you, with your own eyes, recognize as an explosive device?
Never, ever be a good Samaritan under any circumstances.
Don't help people. It never ends
go
well.
Go to your house, lock the door, pull down the shade.
Speak to no one. Distrust strangers.
Right.
All right.
Police say the device was made by kids fooling around. Well, you kids fooling around, you face a fine of $125,000 and 5 years in prison. But it'll never happen in Portland. Thanks to all these liberal judges.
No, it's just a turnstile there. It's a revolving door for our Portland criminals. Speaking of which, how far away are we from the trial of the one who hit your car?
24 days.
And that's the 28th?
Mm-hmm.
A Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Rick, I went to work and I have to go to work again today. I'll probably drink at work, but that's as exciting as it will get. Stupid healthcare. Okay.
She's a healthcare professional?
I'm
drinking.
I am reading this email now. This is not me saying this.
Uh-huh.
Because we feel that children are what, Tim? Our nation's what?
Richest natural resource.
This is the opinion of an emailer to the Rick Emerson Show. He says, I have to go to work again today. I will probably drink at work, but that's as exciting as it will get. He then continues, quote, stupid healthcare job, stupid developmentally disabled citizenry, stupid God's special children, end quote.
But they'll never notice. I'm speaking of a supervisor.
What's that? Coke? Fine. All right, there you go. That's attention advertisers. You too can. Okay, here's.
And now more tales of terror here. A driver struck a bicyclist and kept going, and now the woman who was hit wants the driver to step forward and take responsibility. Like that's going to happen. This happened at Murray Boulevard and Walker Road.
Where
in
is
the
that?
Suburbs.
I don't
this
even know.
Suburbs.
Oh, okay.
In Beaverton, as a matter of fact.
You're supposed to be safe in the suburbs.
Not necessarily.
Man, this is a car that hit a bicyclist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The woman said the car that hit her was keep an eye out for this one, a dark gray Honda CRV or Toyota RAV4. So if you have any information,
I don't know
the Beaverton Police.
I got nothing.
Right. Who wants to hear about Nazis?
Let me read. It is the 4th of July, after all.
It is. Dateline Olympia, the state patrol says there aren't any arrest or incidents to report from a neo-Nazi rally and counter-protest today at the state capitol. There are a dozen members of the white supremacist National Socialist Movement in Olympia.
Leave these people alone. This is what always happens. And you all who are from the Northwest, you know what I'm talking about. We've been experiencing it for 40 years.
Right.
There's always five Nazis and then like 800 counter-protesters. Just knock it off. They'll go away. I mean, they're... Look, I'm not saying that we don't have problems in this world. We have problems right here in River City, kids. But here's the thing, is that Nazis and white supremacists, they are no longer a problem. They're just sort of like a bad tsetse fly. They're not even a nuisance. They're not even an irritant. 100 years ago, yes. Them and all of their retarded inbred ilk have ceased to even be... They're not even the beginnings of a blister. They're not even the beginnings of a pimple on the buttocks of this fine
country. I think I see
a
lot of potential ones riding on the Max.
Yeah, but I mean...
There aren't too many of them.
It's like they don't even have cars. They can be... You know, they don't even know how to use furniture. So just leave them alone. They're no threat to anybody. And all you do is draw attention to them. So ignore idiot Nazis and they will go away. And in Olympia... Like, what are they... I didn't even think they could leave Idaho. Who even knew that they had cars? All right. Do we have to break here?
We do.
All right. Let me find some jolly Christmas music to play here. Wait, hold on. It is our Christmas in July. Here we go. It is our Christmas in July show. You stay there. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Lisa Goddard coming up to talk about the shuttle launch later on. Jim Roop. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Solid State Radio.
Merry Christmas, baby. Should it treat me nice?
Live from Portland, only on AM 970, Solid State Radio. If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah.
Lenin's birthplace has become a strip club.
What?
In Russia. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
The leasing of the birthplace of Bolshevik leader Vladimir Lenin for wild parties with striptease act has sparked fury among Russia's communists.
Oh, no.
According to the yes, newspaper.
Is that you?
Yeah, sure. It's my favorite. The management of the Lenin Museum in the Volga region of the city of Sweden.
It's in Sweden? Wow.
Began renting the house and museum complex to high-paying businessmen for festivities, claiming that this was the only way to raise enough funds for its maintenance, but an official investigation revealed the proceeds were going straight into the museum director's pocket.
Oh.
During a lap dance, apparently.
Yeah.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Mornings at 6, only on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. Unless you're a dog or cat, then all your meals are free. That's great for them. But during PetSmart gift card days, you can get something free too. A $5 gift card by mail each time you buy select bags of over 100 varieties of pet food. But gift card days are only here for a limited time, so visit PetSmart today. A free PetSmart gift card, something you and your pet can both enjoy. That's smart. PetSmart. Gift cards available by mail. See store for details.
You know, it's funny. Millions of drivers switch to GEICO because of the savings. But you never know how good a car insurance company really is until you have a claim. That's why so many drivers stay with GEICO.
At Taco Time restaurants, we're so excited about adding mango peach salsa to our famous crispy chicken ranchero. We'd like to give you a taste of it right now. Unfortunately, this is radio and you can't taste radio. But we can let you hear what this flavorful, tart, sweet and tangy new entree sounds like to your taste buds. It goes a little something like this. The first thing your tongue hears is the syncopated rhythm of fresh cabbage blend with cheddar cheese and a blast of ranch dressing. As your taste buds listen to the crispy strips of tender chicken, they hear a melody of stringed instruments. Finally, the crescendo of sweet and tangy mango peach salsa strikes a keynote of flavor on your palate. It all comes together for that big band sound in your mouth. The new Mango Ranchero. It's music to your tongue. It's taco time.
At Broadway Toyota, we know what your expectations are when you're looking to buy a car. And that's why we know that if you come to Broadway Toyota at the Rose Quarter, we'll change your perception of car dealers. You want a lot of Toyotas to choose from. You want people who will make you feel comfortable and confident while you're shopping for your new Toyota. And of course, there's price. At Broadway Toyota, we've known for a long time that you don't want to run all over town comparing prices on anything, especially cars. And we price our Toyotas every day so that the only place you need to go is here. We've even made it easy to shop for a Toyota at work. While you're on your lunch break, of course, just go to BroadwayToyota.com and our internet team will happily assist you via email. So Portland, if you're even thinking about buying a Toyota, Broadway is the only way. Just get off at the I-5 Rose Quarter exit and head two blocks east. Or visit us online at BroadwayToyota.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
If only the home office had been followed by the home hair salon and the home dry cleaners.
Fortunately, Walgreens Digital Photo Service lets you do at least one more thing without leaving home. You just upload photos to Walgreens.com and order prints from the comfort of home. Then you can pick them up in as little as an hour at any one of thousands of Walgreens nationwide. Walgreens, where America takes its digital pictures. 1 hour photo limited to machine capacity.
Dude, what are you doing?
Not my credit threat, so I couldn't get a car.
Yeah, but you're in the middle of the street with a rowboat.
Yeah, dude, I just invented it. I call it a land boat.
Yeah, it's a rowboat. You're barely moving.
Yeah, no, man, it's not much, but it gets me where I need to go.
Well, you know, you don't have to have great credit if you go to Metro Auto Wholesale. They've been around for 25 years. They've got 28 different lenders that'll compete for your business, even if your credit is bruised, which it most obviously is. If you're rowing a boat in the middle of the street.
Dude, that's tight, but I mean, are they all junkers? Because my Lambo's pretty sweet.
Well, as sweet as your Lambo is, they've actually got 500 late model, low mileage, quality pre-owned vehicles that covers three whole city blocks.
Tight, bro. I'm paddling there now. How do I get there, man?
Well, they're on the corner 72nd and Southeast Foster Road, so, you know, I guess just row there.
Sick, dude. I'm on my way.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees, having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars. No, this isn't bankruptcy or one of those consumer credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. It's Credit Card Relief. We have an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. We provide a complete credit analysis and free consultation with a local participating program attorney. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free and the relief is real.
Call 1-866-808-3939. 1-866-808-3939. That's Credit Card Relief. 1-866-808-3939.
Live from Portland, the Rick Emerson Show continues.
Now, if you're ready, we will begin.
AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Portland is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at Rick Emerson. I'm trying to hit the post. I don't even know where the post is in this crazy song. I don't... Oh, damn it. Let's all pretend I hit the post. And then it does this weird, freaky Beck thing here, like where it's like the Devo Christmas.
I don't like it when it switches gears.
Yeah. I don't think anybody in the audience knows. No, yeah. Because
it's like the devil singing.
Be merry.
This song is giving me an aneurysm.
I know, it's giving me a headache. It's like something Scotty J produced.
It really does sound like a Scotty J production. You're right. Have I ever played you that terrifying Santa Claus is coming to town with a little kid? I don't think I brought it, unfortunately. Maybe I did. It's like it's right out of Clyde's head. Clyde Lewis will be here later on. It's our annual Christmas in July show. While everybody else is foisting tedious and tiresome best-ofs onto you, we are here creating brand new original crap because the Rick Emerson Show cares. Jim Roop coming up later on. Gary Baumgartner's from Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs on Coney Island there with the hot dog eating contest.
All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Florida, CNN radio correspondent and woman of the world. Oh, that's right. We're not using the West Wing today. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because every time I stop it.
Well, let's play it again. Let's welcome now to the... There you go. Thank you. Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. A little frightened by the music, but I'm good.
This whole show is being held together with baling wire today.
Hey, it's good stuff.
All right, so the shuttle launch happened, and I mean, it sounds weird, but at this point, I'm not even really sure what there is to ask, except to say that everything went as scheduled, and I heard that they really downplaying this foam that came off yesterday, and they're saying that it was almost, in the grand scheme of things, pointless to even worry about it.
Yeah, they said that it was really just kind of a chip of foam. It was about 3 inches long. It was kind of, I've been comparing it to an apple turnover, but it wasn't quite as deep. It was very, very small, and they said it just wasn't large enough to cause any damage, and the amount of foam left behind was plenty. And it looks like they were right, but, you know, we just don't know yet, because even though the space shuttle is in space now, getting ready to orbit the Earth, we don't know yet if there was damage to the shuttle during this launch. And right now, NASA scientists are poring over the many photographs and video that they took during the launch to see if there were any problems.
Now, is there a standard time frame or a window after which things are more or less in the clear?
That's a good question. I don't know that there is. I think that certainly within this first day, if there was something that was alarming, NASA would spot it within a day. But you never know. If there was a tiny particle that was just spotted in the background of a photograph, that could come up later. And we could get more information, certainly, when the astronauts approach the International Space Station. They're basically going to do kind of a belly flop and expose the underside of the space shuttle to the International Space Station so they can take close-up photos. And at that point, we'll know if there were any problems
and
with the tile.
That's very similar to what they did, I would say, several launches ago. But they did the same thing where they examined some film of the launch, discovered that something would come out, and they did a several flybys so they could sort of look at it. So they've planned out how to sort of assess this while
That's
they're
right.
outside of the Earth.
They have a lot of ways, and even now, two of the mission specialists aboard Discovery are starting to take photos and look at the spacecraft. So that's step one up in space, and then step two will be when they fly sort of upside down toward the International Space Station and get some photographs from there.
Here's a really dumb question. What does this foam do?
Now, well, what the foam does, first, you got to think about the external fuel tank, that huge orange tank right behind the space shuttle. That has all these super cool liquid. That's what us reporters are supposed to say, super cool liquid, but includes liquid oxygen. And that liquid oxygen runs up in these lines into the fuel tank and out, and it is so cold that just being near the air, it can freeze these metal brackets that kind of hold it in place.
Right.
And so that they don't want ice forming on that because this liquid is so cool. And so in order to prevent any icing, they put the foam on top of it.
All right.
So there's your explanation.
Excellent. So I guess we will sort of follow up as the days go on to make sure that everything is sort of copacetic there and everything is functioning properly. My question to you is there a standard size of an apple turnover? Is that a known fact?
I hope not. I really hope not. I think the apple turnover is not something that should be industrialized.
You should start that trend, though. This should be your trademark.
You know, a trend I do want to start, though. I talked to this man who worked here at NASA. He has worked here since the start. He's worked here since they actually stole German missiles or found German missiles and were shooting those off. And his idea is to put a giant strobe light on the International Space Station. I thought you guys might take that ball and run with it.
That's a great idea. I'm all for that. And then they could do some sort of Pink Floyd laser thing. Like, you know, when they, you know, like instead of that Aurora Borealis thing that no one can ever see.
See, he wanted to help the children of the world. I'm not sure. I don't know. I feel like you might lead them astray.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Lisa. All right. We will talk to you soon as this sort of develops. Thank you, Lisa.
Excellent.
All right. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard there at Kennedy Space Center there. All right.
Did you hear her laughing at you?
That's because I'm amusing.
You tickled her fancy.
Yes.
No, she wasn't laughing with you. She was laughing at you.
What line was it that was hilarious? Which of my many witticisms was I pointing out? I think it's when I talked about blah, 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 apple turnover. Oh, no, it's when I said, what exactly does the foam do? And she giggled, a high, lilting sort of musical laugh. And I was very pleased with myself. And Sarah,
kind of nervous because she thought that you, know.
Sarah mouths the words, you're dumb.
No, I said she thinks you're dumb.
As I've noted before,
I don't know what the foam does.
There is sort
of. I don't know what the foam does either.
No one knows. There's sort of.
She'd laugh hysterically if she knew that.
There's Robert Redford cute and Mr. Potato Head cute. And I am sort of the latter. Okay. I'm sort of cute the way a dog with three legs is cute. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the City Desk with Tim Riley.
Time now for Democracy on the March.
Here's your Democracy on the March. I'm trying to hit posts all over the... All right, I got nothing. Sorry.
Well, the president celebrated the 4th of July as a wartime leader, saying the U.S. troops will overcome persistent violence in Iraq.
He what?
He celebrated the 4th of July as a wartime leader.
Yes, because that's... Let's all celebrate that we're... Let me read that.
Sure.
They wouldn't actually say... Oh, it doesn't even say that? Listen to this. Listen, I'll just have this... President Bush, this is from the Associated Press, presumably just fed this copy by the White House.
Yeah.
Dateline, North Carolina, Fort Bragg. President Bush, celebrating his 4th, July 4th, as a wartime leader, said to... Yes, let's have a cake. Let's have a cake and have a parade.
He did.
We're at war for 4 goddamn years.
He did get a cake the other day for his birthday.
Jesus God. Yes, because that's worthy of celebration. The fact that we're now going on, 1,300 days of this pointless, ridiculous war. All right, fine.
On this day, when we give thanks for our freedom, we also give thanks to the men and women who make our freedom possible. This has nothing to do with freedom whatsoever.
No.
He told an estimated 3,500 U.S. troops in Fort Bragg in Safe America, home of the 82nd Airborne Division, that the sacrifice of troops in Iraq will not be made in vain.
I'm going to make you this promise.
Please.
He's going to. Let the man speak.
I believe him already. I believe unhesitatingly and without question what our quasi-elected leaders say to us.
I'm going to make you this promise. I'm not going to allow the sacrifice of 2,527 troops who've died in Iraq to be in vain by pulling out before the job is done.
Now, how did this job be done?
I don't even know what the job is anymore.
Do we have an end point? Is there a job to be done?
I'm not...
What is it?
God, and I know that it sounds like we're taking cheap shots by throwing stones at George W. Bush on the 4th of July, but you know what? You're elected president, that's what you get. You get the stones thrown at you. Figuratively, of course, because we wish George W. Bush a long life and the best of health, as we do all elected government officials. I'm not being facetious here, and I'm not going to dwell because I don't want to be a big buzzkill on the 4th of July because it's our Christmas show, but it has to go without saying. How many did he say?
I'm going to make you this promise. I'm not going to allow the sacrifice of 2,527 troops who've died in Iraq to be in vain.
All right. Well, A, too late. B, let me just say, I, as a representative of the United States of America, as a representative of Multnomah County, as a representative of Portland, and as a representative of Southeast Portland, and a representative of this radio station, I just like to say I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm very sorry. And not really much I can do about it. But I think I speak for the vast majority of us at this point.
Yes.
When I say that no one has any idea what the job is. No one has any idea how it is that we're going to finish the job.
What the prize would be.
I don't even know what's at the end of this particular black rainbow at this point. So
a big pile of cinder blocks.
Yeah, that's really fighting for nothing. There, at this point. It's a country no one even wants. It really is just like fighting over a burned-out crack house. There's just nothing left to be fighting for. So, and the very idea that the White House will put out some press release saying that George Bush was, quote, celebrating his 4th of July as a wartime president, it turns my stomach more than a little.
Meanwhile, in the thriving democracy of Iraq, the Iraqi official who was kidnapped today in eastern Baghdad has been released. Gunmen in camouflage uniforms kidnapped the country's deputy electricity minister and 11 of his bodyguards. And so we're going to have to get 12 from now on just to be safe.
Well,
I mean, this is just the deputy electricity minister.
I don't even know what that is.
He's the guardian of the switch.
He's the guardian of the three
power
light bulbs
blackout.
And fuse that they've got there. Uh-huh. They can't even use the light bulbs. They're just kept in a box somewhere in a basement. They just keep an eye on these.
Apparently, they found out he's really not worth much of anything.
The deputy electricity. And you know what? In Iran. This is in Iran?
No, Iraq.
Why does it say Iran?
Who said Iran?
Oh, I'm looking at the sound cut here.
Oh, yeah, you're looking at something totally
different. So this is in Iraq.
Yeah.
So we're fighting over a country with it. Okay, I'm not even sure they know what electricity is in most of Iraq. I'm pretty sure that they think that there's still like an angry spirit god in the sky creating flashes every now and again. And secondly, in Iran, you know that, I mean, this poor bastard, you know that if you become president of Iraq, your lifespan can be measured in picoseconds. You know that if you become, whatever, minister of propaganda, you know that whatever you say is pointless because the White House is just going to put out their own press releases. You know that if you're in charge of defense of Iraq, it doesn't matter because George Bush is going to...
If you go downstairs to get a sandwich at Quiznos, your head will get chopped off.
We don't even announce, we don't even tell the supposed sovereign government Iraq that we're coming over. It's just sort of like sitting at home and suddenly some guy comes in and just sits down on the sofa, begins scratching himself in inappropriate places and eating all your Doritos. That's kind of what we do. But you think at least to take the job, you're not even the deputy. You're like the assistant to the deputy of the electricity department in Iraq that you're going to be safe. But no. And then you surround yourself with not one, not three, not five, not seven, not nine, but 11 bodyguards. And they're all kidnapped along with you. You just can't win there. So, here's the thing. And we all know on this program, I'm a big bleeding heart. Everybody knows that. But it really does beg the question at some point whether it's at a certain point we should just hit reset on that whole part of the world. You know, it does sort of bring up, and I don't know if they're redneck tendencies, I don't know what they are. It's just these whole sections of this planet that just ought to be nuked from orbit and paved over, and we just ought to start again. And I think really in any fair assessment, just obliterating that whole section of the globe and starting again would probably give most of the people who live there a better chance on the next go around. Nothing's going to get better. Nothing's going to be fixed. It's just time to reboot from scratch over there. God damn. All right.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon has placed its Northern Command on high alert because of the latest threats in North Korea. They promised an annihilating strike if the country is attacked by the U.S. over long-range...
We're not going to attack them. We're not going to... Because you can tell. Because we only attack countries that don't mean anything. We have this sort of reflexive rule that we only attack countries that pose no threat to us whatsoever. Afghanistan. There's nobody there that is threatening us in any way. There's no one there to get... They can't do anything. They don't. They're strapping things to mules over there.
And they eat goats.
No point. It's like attacking bedrock. There's just no point. So, of course, bam, attack. Iraq can't do anything. They had the 8th largest army in the world, and that was like 20 years ago. They got like the 50th largest army in the world now. They pose no threat. They couldn't afford a plane. Even if they pooled all their resources, they couldn't afford a plane ticket to get over here to mug somebody. Bam, Iraq. All the hijackers come from Saudi Arabia, so of course, bam, leave those guys alone. North Korea's actually got nuclear weapons with which they could, destroy us. We'll leave them alone. We only attack people who pose no threat whatsoever. So the idea that Kim Jong-il needs to start issuing a lot of threats is sort of ridiculous. He's got to know that we're not ever going to do anything because we have this sort of moral... We have this sort of viewpoint now of never hitting anybody who can actually hit us back.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon sent out Major Bob to tell us the high alert is a common practice after such a threat.
Any indication that the North Koreans are about to launch, even if the launch is what's termed a local launch, that is either in the Pacific Ocean or at a shorter range, they'll always light up the radars. They'll network with the Navy in the Northern Pacific, connect in with the radars in Japan to follow the trajectory of this missile.
I don't even understand what we're talking about.
Well, talking about Major Bob here. Who says North Korea is threatening to launch something that is very primitive.
Clearly what the North Koreans are trying to do is gain some political capital by this thing. But the American people need to know a couple of things. This is a very, very, very primitive weapon.
Okay, that makes me feel so much better.
That's a big rock on the catapult.
I don't really know that you need political capital when you've got nuclear weapons. I mean, I think at that point you no longer need to speak softly. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Are we still inside Democracy in the
Yeah, we got a couple more here.
All right.
Well, our closest ally, the people of Britain, view the United States as a vulgar, crime-ridden society, obsessed with money and led by an incompetent president whose Iraq policy is failing.
Okay.
The United States is no longer a symbol of hope to Britain, and that the British no longer have confidence in their transatlantic cousins to lead global affairs, according to a poll conducted by the Daily Telegraph. And this is a conservative newspaper, by the way. This poll found that 77% of respondents disagreed with the statement that the U.S. is, quote, a beacon of hope to the world, unquote. Mm-hmm. A massive 83% of those questioned said the United States doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks. President Bush fares significantly worse, with just 1% rating him as a great leader. 1%.
Ow!
76% deemed him a pretty poor or terrible leader. More than two-thirds...
And those people lived under Margaret Thatcher, where you had to eat the mud for breakfast.
Yep. Nearly two-thirds who offered an opinion said America was essentially an imperial power seeking world domination. 81% of those who took a view said the President Bush is hypocritically champion a democracy as a cover for the pursuit of American self-interest.
Well, that's nitpicking, though, really. I mean, when you think about it,
Well, at least we have better dental here.
It's true. Are we done?
Oh, we got one more. And the most important for last.
Okay.
This headline says, the CIA has reportedly shut down its anti-Bin Laden unit. They've hunted for Osama Bin Laden and his top deputies for a decade now. It's been disbanded by the CIA, citing unnamed intelligence officials, the New York Times, and they're usually right. That's how they're in trouble and people hate them. Reported Tuesday that the unit known as L-Tech Station was shut down late last year. The decision to close the unit, which was created by 9/11 attacks, was first reported by NPR. The CIA said hunting Bin Laden remains a priority. Sure.
Even though they're closing the office that does it.
Yeah. But resources needed to be directed toward other people and groups likely to initiate new attacks.
Didn't he just put out some other... I should have asked Lisa Goddard about this. Didn't he put out some other statement 2 days ago?
Oh, yeah, he had a new video cassette, didn't he?
I thought it was an audio cassette. I don't think anybody's seen video of him since that one of him wearing the fatigues in the cave.
Well, he needs to put out a new gift box set pretty soon.
He's going to put some B-sides. All right, here's a demo of that. You may remember this.
That is Democracy on
There you go. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to become embittered. It's a festive day. It is our Christmas in July. I'm not going to let George W. Bush ruin my day. All right, Rick, about today's drinking contest.
What drinking contest?
Well, see, because there is this sort of faction in the audience that every year when we do the Christmas in July, they create a drinking contest.
Oh, that is
but
American.
Now, but really, what could be more American than that? Rick, this is from Anthony. Today's drinking contest is suspended today.
Why?
I'm more intrigued with the rather lackadaisical approach to syntax that Anthony and his friends seem to be using. Today's drinking contest is suspended today. Yesterday we had the phrases, quote, angrily wiping down the counters, washing dishes, and my boyfriend says that. We passed out in the first hour and missed most of the show. We are also out of booze. Just thought you should know. Can you buy alcohol today?
Oh, yeah.
Really? The 4th of July?
Oh, the liquor store?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That seems wrong. Doesn't that seem contrary to the whole spirit of the 4th of July and declaring our independence if you can't go and buy hooch today?
You got to go to Watts or someplace like that where there are plenty of liquor stores in every street corner.
And, of course, if you don't have any money, there's someplace to pawn it right next door. What a country! All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see, what else do we have here? Meet local Christian singles now. No. Let's see. This is some guy writing us about Harry Potter. Oh, look, this is from Rob. Our friend Rob Peacock. Rick, thanks for being live today as every holiday. In solidarity, I'm putting in a half day today. Here is a website showing the distribution of pop versus soda. Apparently, Multnomah County is overwhelmingly pop. Who would have thought? So this is a whole calendar, or a map, rather, is showing. Okay, it is as I suspected. The East Coast is largely soda. And then, like, the sort of Midwest, like, the sort of Green Bay area, and then up to, like, where's this? What's that there?
What's what?
This part of the country, like what state is that?
That's the Great Lakes state.
The Great Lakes, yeah. That is largely pop. And then the West Coast is pop, except for California, which is soda. And then the South is, quote, Coke and or other.
Well, they think it's all the same thing.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's Southern. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, anyway, what could be more American than hot dogs on a day like this? Yes, it's hot dog eating time again at Coney Island. Nation's annual hot dog eating contest is taking place, and competitor Joey Chestnut says he's ready to meet multiple-time champion, a Japanese fellow Kayaboshi.
Yesterday I had a little hot dog, but I'm getting ready right now. I haven't really eaten a real meal
killing
for a couple
someone?
Days. I'm actually pretty hungry. I need to convince my body that it's all right to eat this much food.
I didn't even hear the first part of that. All right, let's go back and listen to that again. And Kobayashi is that Japanese guy.
He's teeny little guy.
Real thin too. I mean, I don't mean this sort of rhetorically. I don't understand how that's possible. I really don't. I mean, it doesn't seem like if you are a small man, doesn't it seem like you have a proportionally smaller stomach than, let's say, a larger man? Isn't that true?
I would imagine so. Yes.
So I mean,
I watched a documentary on this though, and the big fat guys really don't do as well.
They can never do well.
Guys. Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense because as Madeline, as Terry Garr says in Young Frankenstein, I can't really, I'm paraphrasing, but she's talking about Frankenstein. She said if he has a big body, then his brain and his feet and his hands and his whatever, they all have to be proportionally larger. So it seems if you are a large man versus that guy, he's got to only weigh 140, 150, if that. So if somebody knows how that is possible, and Gary Baumgarten may know, but please to be calling us and telling us. Oh, do we have to break?
Yeah,
when is he coming up?
Up one.
Oh, we better hurry.
Well, let me listen to this soundbite one more time.
Yesterday I had a little hot dog, but I'm getting ready right now. I haven't really eaten a real meal for a couple days. I'm actually pretty hungry. I need to convince my body that it's all right to eat this much food.
All right. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's our annual Christmas in July show. Back after this with Gary Baumgarten. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Solid State Radio.
Bring up the lights and light up the tree. We're gonna make some revelry. Spirits are high, so I can tell it's Christmas time in hell. Demons are nicer as you pass them by. There's lots of demon toys to buy. The snow is falling and all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. There goes Jeffrey Dahmer with a festive Christmas ham. After he f***s with it, he'll eat up all he can. And there goes John F. Kennedy caroling with his son.
Reunited for the holidays. God bless us, everyone. Everybody has a happy glow. Let's dance in blood and pretend it's
hell. Even Mao Zedong is under the spell. It's Christmas time in hell.
Adolf, here's a present for you.
What?
A cannon bomb!
Yes, a cannon bomb.
You're listening to The Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, here we go on
AM 970.
What's up?
Solid State Radio. And you're listening to AM 970.
Whatever.
Let me tell you why I left Portland. It's like 12:45. I'm sitting around with some friends. You know, we're talking about anything other than we're talking about Star Wars. We're just talking about Star Trek. We're going to be tossing some dice later. Tossing back some booze. Doesn't matter how late it gets in Portland, Oregon, I can still go get myself a friggin' beer, a comic book, a crate of JoJo.
Yeah,
my name is Aaron, and I live in Portland, goddamn mother Oregon.
AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Homeowners, if you want to spend less on bills, how about reducing your mortgage payment up to 33%? It's easy with Quicken Loans. Just write down this number, 800-281-6105. Quicken Loans can show you how to cut your mortgage payment up to 33% so you can make your money work harder, like paying off high-interest credit card bills, affording home improvements, or increasing your retirement savings. Just call 800-281-6105. With over 150 exclusive loan programs, the mortgage experts at Quicken Loans have something for you. This could be the most valuable call you make all year. Find out how you can cut your monthly mortgage payment up to 33%. Call Quicken Loans right now at 800-281-6105. 800-281-6105. Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call now, 800-281-6105.
July is the month for friends, family, and fun. What better way to enjoy the summer than stopping in for great food and world-famous service at your Portland-area Hooters restaurant? Hooters of Beaverton off Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. Hooters of Mall 205 on the east side. And their new location, Hooters of Jansen Beach. Bring the gang down and find the cure for the common restaurant this summer. This month, Hooters and Cycle Sports of Salem are giving away a brand new Sea-Doo. Check Cycle Sports on the web at cyclesports.net. Ask for details at your favorite Hooters.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now.